Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. And by FreshBooks, the easy-to-use cloud accounting software for small business owners. Make this year your most productive year yet. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. Welcome to All About Android, episode number 355, recorded on Tuesday, February 6th, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Man, together again. It feels so good.
We're all back together.
The peeps are back in town.
Although you're out next week, right?
No,
I'm out next week.
Oh, Ron's out next week.
It's
all over the place.
February is a rough month. It's short. It's tight on money. Like every February is like, it's emotionally, you know, like the weather and all that sort of stuff. And also I'm going to miss two shows this month. So yeah.
Got to hustle. Hustle while you can.
I'm sorry, but it's good to have you guys back. Okay. Last week, I loved having Aaron on the show, but I missed you guys terribly.
Yeah.
I was doing our document with all the stories, and I assigned my name to every story.
RR, yep. All the way down.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
I'm sorry,
it's
too. Right. And I was feeling bad for Ron. I was like, do you want me to join the arena?
We always did. We should have.
You did a great job. And Aaron Newcomb, he's awesome.
Victor held us together.
Yeah.
So big thanks to Aaron and Victor, but I'm happy to have you guys back.
Yeah, good. Well, no one wanted me here on Tuesday, to be quite honest. No, I'm serious. No one wanted me here. If I was here, I would have infected the entire studio, and that just would have been horrible. Tuesday was probably the day that I felt worse with the flu. It was like the worst day. I woke up Tuesday morning so hopeful that I was going to be able to pull it off, and I was like, yeah, this isn't happening. So I'm happy that I didn't come in, because otherwise everybody here would be super sick this week.
I was just getting my taxes done.
Sorry, everyone.
So, sometimes maybe we keep things on our inner monologue, though. We just say, yeah,
I was sitting on a beach here in town.
No, I wasn't just sitting on a beach. I was having a constructive meeting with a professional.
Okay, all right.
About my life.
Yeah,
and my livelihood.
Hey, taxes.
I was empowering myself as an independent worker.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you're obviously very responsible. You're taking care of this stuff like a couple of months before everybody else does.
I have to.
I got to tell you. Yeah, the two best things you can do with taxes are start them early and pay a professional to do them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Hey, it's relevant, okay? We're heading into that season of the year. This is our annual PSA.
Yes.
Your taxes.
The more you know. As far as Android news is concerned, we've got a lot to talk about. We'll be discussing Android KTX for a cleaner Kotlin. I'm sure Ron feels very good about this. Very happy about the Kotlin news. LG's boot loop settlement. We'll talk about that. Alcatel's. That's Alcatel or Alcatel. Anyways, they have an iPhone 10 lookalike. So if you like your Android devices looking like an iPhone 10, you'll want to stay tuned for that. Mario Kart Tour is apparently coming to mobile devices. We've got a ton of your emails and a whole lot more. We always start with the most important part, and that's today's news.
You know what's the most used bumper here on Android News? Yep. Oh, wait a minute. This just in.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Now, Now I feel like I need some breaking news. Wait, what is the news? What do I need to follow?
This just in, guys. I've been watching the stream all day, and it looks like the Earth is not the shape of an Oreo.
Oh,
that is breaking news, Victor. Dang, look at you, man.
Wow.
So thanks to Elon Musk.
Victor dropped a bit on us.
I know. He delivered a bit, and he delivered. He did. He dropped a bit, and he delivered. So is this real or is this fake, what we're looking at right now?
It's fake. Absolutely fake.
I mean, this is okay. All right, because I missed all of this today. I was busy doing other things. I missed all the launch and whatever. So I didn't know. Like, did they actually launch a car?
Yeah, they threw a Tesla into Mars or something.
They actually did that.
Yeah, they just went.
But what we're looking at here is not real, right,
Victor?
I think it's on the.
Is it actually real? So this is in space right now. It looks like a set to me.
How are they? I don't know. Huh?
Burke says 100% real.
Burke says 100% real.
Oh,
Burke doesn't believe
is it
a
Tesla Roadster? It's not a Tesla.
Yes, it's a Roadster.
It's not a functional one. It's not a functional Tesla Roadster.
It's not driving through space. It's merely floating there.
Burke says.
Okay, well, that's how clueless I've been today. I just know that something along these lines happened, and then when you put up this live video, which is the first today that I've even seen it, it just looks so fake to me. But okay, all right, it's real. There's a car in space.
I don't know, you can see the reflection on the car and stuff. And
yeah, but I guess so. You could do that with lights
in space.
There's a few lens flares that I think would be hard to.
Yeah, but they got JJ Abrams.
Well, yeah, it's JJ Abrams. He has a copy on every planet and the atmosphere.
True. Like,
whatever.
It's unfortunate that JJ Abrams owns basically the likelihood of any lens flare joke in existence going forward.
I know. What happened to it just being for the Photoshop crowd?
Totally. It's not fair.
I'm looking at the photos, and they put a car on the nose cone of this rocket. That's crazy.
We're all just catching up right now.
I know. It really is crazy, though. Like, that's.
I like it.
It is breaking news to you guys.
Thank you for the break. Yes, it's breaking news to us too. Exactly.
It's not Android related.
He's got different angles and everything. So,
see, this is the shot that I saw earlier, and I was like, okay, what is going on here? Anyways, they didn't put. Maybe that's an Android device mounted on the dock. I don't know.
That's Android. That was my tie-in to it.
So
that is
along with the Oreo shape.
Does Android Auto work in space? I don't know.
Does it work on Earth? Sorry, that was really low. It does. It works fine, everyone.
That was harsh, but it
should
was
we
perfect.
Get into the first bit of news that we have? So moving that train along. The first little bit of news is, well, it's good news for Nougat and people who love Nougat. Not the candy, though. We're talking about the operating system, or rather the operating system number. So the new Android distribution numbers, we usually talk about it only when it's very significant. And in this case, it is because Nougat is now the most installed version of the Android operating system at 28.5%. That's not even 30%, though. I just want to put it out there, which would make a nicer headline.
Nice round. Everybody loves a nice round number.
Much nicer headline. Marshmallow. Yes. Two OSs behind is now second, very closely at 28.1%.
Okay.
Which is, again, it's old.
It's old.
It's old.
And it's hardly edged out by Nougat.
Hardly. You know, I mean,
0.4% ahead.
Precisely. And then we've got Oreo, which finally cracked 1% at 1.1%, which I'm just going to assume accounts for all the people who bought new Pixels over the holiday season. That's what I'm going to account for. I'm just going to make up that number as that's how that happened.
So we got to wait a year and a half before Oreo hits Nougat numbers.
Well, it's frustrating Oreo has so much about it. And like, as a person who talks about this and writes about this, you're supposed to be telling consumers about what's going on, and you can't really talk to them about it if they're not on the same operating system as you.
Yeah, there's always that disconnect of what's the new feature in Android, and it's like, well, it can do these
things. I don't know
things,
what to tell you. What
you probably
version
don't
are
have
you
the
on?
Device that'll allow you to do that.
Do I need to switch to an older device, I wonder, and start living life like the rest of my Android brethren? I wonder if I should stop living the Pixel life.
Yeah, live La Vida.
Stop living La Vida updates. The life of updates.
Two notes. One, yes. It's pronounced Nuga.
Yes, it is.
And two,
thank you.
I'm going to ask the question that I always ask whenever we talk about these numbers, and I never think to do the research in advance. What was Marshmallow at 18 months in?
Well, let's see here. Thanks to Tyler Hilliard, who once a long time ago created a doc that is still being updated. It's up to date as much as far as Nougat. It doesn't have any Oreo.
Nougat.
Sorry. You just corrected us, too. How quickly I forget.
Well, I blame the vertigo.
Well, I blame it for many things right now. Let's see here. So what was your question at this time last year with Marshmallow?
Not at this time. At 18 months in, where was Marshmallow? That's what I always look at. Like, how is each operating system pacing compared to the previous one?
Okay, so Marshmallow at 18 was around 31.2%.
So it's running behind.
Ice Cream Sandwich, by the way, 18 months was 25.6%. Lollipop was 35.1%. Kit Kat at 18 months was 39.8%. And way up at the top, Jelly Bean at 18 months was 59.1%. 59.1%.
That's crazy.
Wow. So then when you compare it,
why in the heck was Jelly Bean so much higher up there than, was it just because we had an influx of?
Yeah, it had to have been a burst of devices. Right? Or tablets? Tablets, maybe?
That's actually.
Could have been the tablet time.
True.
But
I'm also thinking about what Ron just said and the fact that maybe I'm just thinking it's been slow. I don't know. I mean, hearing MWC is going to be pretty slim, so
yeah.
I'm assuming.
Okay, so Jelly Bean was released July 13th, 2012.
Yeah.
And then Kit Kat came very shortly thereafter. Oh, that's why. Boom, that's why. Because Jelly Bean was announced at the same time as the Nexus 7.
So it was kind of the tablet.
Oh, yeah.
It was tablet craze started.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
God, it's been a while. It's been a while, guys.
And I mean, at 18 months, Jelly Bean was almost peaked at that point. But you know what? Looking at this chart, they almost all do that. They've almost all peaked at around that time.
It's still worth noting that we have 30% here, 30% there. That's not a good. That's 60% of people who are on two different operating, anyway.
You're tilting at windmills though, Flo, because it's never going to be because of phone releases and deals with carriers and all that sort of stuff. If you take that data that you're looking at, Jason, if you map this pattern, it's the same trend going back to KitKat.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is what happens. These numbers don't widely change, and I don't think they're going to until they do some sort of big switch where, you know, Google can control the releases and update everybody, and they won't do that. So
they're moving towards that direction with things like Project Trouble, and you know, potentially, you know,
they
there will be more changes along those lines.
G-Tunes but. And force you to use it
no.
to sync your phone, and then you have to be
G-Tunes.
Just G-Tunes. No. It doesn't work on Windows very well. It works on Mac perfectly.
No.
It works on Linux. It doesn't work on anything else.
But also older phones won't be able to run the latest, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't think this gets any better. It just gets worse and it continues to get worse. Hopefully they can turn it around with some of these changes that they have trouble. But
we're just going to see fewer. I have a theory and this is going really deep into this.
I'm writing
it down. But I have a theory that this is going to go really deep and we're going to see fewer like phone launches happening. This is just a theory. And that eventually these companies that have really made their money in this sector are going to just start siphoning off into their own little eco. I mean, we already see that with Samsung. Samsung has its own little ecosystem of devices. You have your phone that syncs with your TV, that syncs with your tablet, that syncs with your VR thing, you know, with your refrigerator. And so I'm just seeing it as like the ecosystems are becoming something different than just like platform wars, if that makes sense. Yeah. So instead of platform wars, it's ecosystem wars. Like, who is your brand?
I concur with you, Flo. I think that is definitely the direction it's going in, or attempt the direction it's attempting to go in. And we've seen failures like Let Echo, right? But we see Samsung thriving. People are Samsung, you know, I don't want to say zombies, but Samsung loyalists.
Oh,
you know?
Members
absolutely.
Of the Samsung fan club. Yes,
right. Yeah, Samsung fan club. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
All right.
Well, all right. Can we just all say that G-Tunes should never actually exist?
Yeah, G-Tunes.
There should never be such a thing as G-Tunes, please.
No such thing as G-Tunes.
Okay. Let's just hope that never
happens. I'm editing the possible show title to be G-Tunes No. Moving from Android distribution to Android development, this is very exciting. Anything Kotlin always gets my attention. And Google announced a new extension library called Android KTX that aims to simplify Kotlin specifically for use on Android. And for those who don't know, Kotlin is the new development kind of environment or system, whatever the developers can use. It makes programming Android apps a little, you know, not easier, but a little more modern. Let's just say that. And KTX will wrap Android-specific patterns into shorter, more concise boilerplate code and basically takes existing code blocks and reduces its size to a shorter format. And right now, it's launching with support for the Android framework. Eventually, we'll also cover Android support library. And this is a preview release, so it's important to note that. So that means things can change until it leaves the preview. And this is really interesting because it's funny because Kotlin was on my mind the other day because I saw a friend of mine who's an iOS developer, predominantly an iOS developer, tweeting about Kotlin. And he was saying basically that like Kotlin is very Swift-like, which is the mm-hmm. platform that iOS apps are developed under. He says that the happy path of Kotlin is very Swift-like, but when you get off it, when you get off that path, it ends in tears and prison. So it sounds like Kotlin is good, but not 100% there. So it's interesting that Google is doing these extension libraries to help kind of address some of the challenges that Kotlin has presented so far. So I think the development of Kotlin continues to be something that I just want to watch and hopefully leads to a wonderful panacea of Android apps. What do you guys think of this?
I think anything that makes it like I'm not a developer, but I play one on TV, so I don't actually know.
It's true.
But I imagine that anything that simplifies, you know, coding is going to make developers happy as long as they don't have to, as long as they aren't required to upend the work they've already done mm-hmm. in order to be in compliance with those changes. That's one thing that I wonder is if you're replacing large blocks of code with boilerplate code that basically does the same thing, I mean, does that result in smaller app sizes, or that wouldn't matter because once it's compiled out to an APK, comes out in the wash anyways.
I would imagine the changes that happen are so, I mean, depending on the app and what is actually happening, I mean, the minifying, so to speak, the making the code smaller with those stuff wouldn't really dramatically change the APK size, but it does make the app easier to maintain and develop against because there's less code to sift through, there's less code to look for bugs, you know, like that sort of thing. Like there are less problems that can happen. If you know that like, okay, I need a login function. Here's this framework code for login. Let me drop that in. That framework portion is tested and known and proved. It's less of a chance to screw up your other code that you're writing from scratch or doing on your own or doing your individual development on. So,
got it. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to hear from some of our developer audience, AAA@twit.tv. Let us know what you think of this. Is this kind of an answer to mm-hmm. a problem that you've had with working in Kotlin up until now? I think it further shows just how dedicated to the Kotlin framework Google is, and that's got to make a lot of people happy, at least compared to what we saw at the reaction at Google I/O.
Well, they have to. They're competing in a really niche development market, so mm-hmm. you got to keep it fresh and marketable
and friendly. Friendly to the developers that are absolutely. Working on the platform
absolutely.
For sure.
You got to give them a reason to come develop for you.
I don't know if we need breaking news for this, but this is like a breaking news side shot. Is that Bleak posted in chat that there is in fact a G-Tunes?
Yeah, there is. He just reminded me.
Thank you, Victor. G-Tunes. This just in, there is in fact a G-Tunes app. It is a one-click entertainment that offers music streaming that focus on Indonesian music.
Listen, Indonesian music is up and coming. In fact, it's the next big thing that Flo and the millennials will be into.
It's very true.
Yeah.
I'm into whatever the kids are doing these days. Gotta.
The app has a relatively material design look to
sure.
it.
Sure.
And between 1,000 to 5,000 downloads or installs.
It looks as if they took the material framework and applied that to their app design.
It's possible that they might have some new things that they can add to it someday. If you like your design material, then you might like to know that Google is literally working on the long-awaited sequel to Material Design, Material Design 2, The Design-ening. now removed Chromium commit spotted by XDA referred to, quote, the new Google Material Design 2 standard. Mentioned that the new Material Design 2 UI was being applied to tab strip and tab interface above the address bar in Chrome, has kind of a new adjusted color layout, or at least it had. I'm not sure where they pulled that from, but anyways, apparently there was a tip to 9to5 Google last year that they didn't publicize because they didn't have any corroborating evidence at that time, but they say that this kind of helps to tie it all together. Last year, that tip said that the long-awaited sequel would aim to increase readability and efficiency and reduce clutter. So that would be kind of the reason why. It's been 4 years, almost 4 years, that we've been living in a material design world.
Living in a material world. Let me tell
and
you.
I am a material design girl.
Let me tell you, the timing of this is really interesting because I'm actually working on a project. And I was working with a visual designer who is not versed in material, and it was at the stage at the point in the project where the visual designer and the developer were trying to decide what framework to use, and material was brought on the table, and they asked me my feedback. They're like, what do you think? Should we use material? And I was like, yes, and I went over this whole thing, and the UI designer dove into material, and like the next day, he's like, dude, this is amazing. I was like, I know. So like, and so that said, one of the questions he had was, is that like, how long has this been out? And is there like, are they going to be updating it? And my thought was like, they have to be. They have to, there's got to be a next generation to this because it was adopted so widespreadly. It is such a great design framework. So I'm not surprised at all that we'd have a material design to the materialing.
I think what you're saying, Ron, is that it would actually be called material design colon TNG, right? For the next generation.
Right, yeah.
Is that what it would be?
I like that.
Would that be the sequel to Material Design?
Yes.
Material, the next generation. Excellent. Yeah. And then in 30 years from now, we can have Material Discovery, and we'll go back to before Material.
When do we do Material Voyager?
Oh, that's in about 10 years.
Deep Space Design.
Ooh!
Let me tell you, if anybody was curious if this show was a bunch of nerds, we just said yes, it is. All About Android is Nerd City. Because we just did that.
That was great. I love that. I love it when things like that happen. All right, so there we go. There wasn't really even a whole lot to go off of on Material Design 2.
But we did it.
We did it. The show's over. How about instead we thank the sponsor of this episode? This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you have ever wanted to get a mortgage, you want to buy a new house, you want to refinance an existing mortgage, if you've been through the process or you haven't, I'm sure you've heard the stories. It's not always that easy to go through the process. And, the whole process really needed an update. It needed an update that keeps with the times. Client-focused, technologically-focused revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all of the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And it's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, or like I said, refinance your home, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. It's all based on all the information, your specific information, income, assets, credit, and Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply. understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now we've got a mega hardware, but with a small shack. Never mind. A big hardware block, but a small shack of one device, if that makes sense. But it's an important device, right, Flo?
It is an important device. So I thought it'd be really fun to do an unboxing, a good old-fashioned unboxing on the show today of a phone that's been having a lot of interesting press lately because of the fact that the Huawei Mate 10 Pro was supposed to make this huge splash being on AT&T, being on Verizon, and unfortunately that just didn't happen. So what we're seeing now is yesterday pre-orders for this phone opened up. There are major discounts being offered on it throughout varying retailers. We're talking Best Buy, we're talking Amazon, a lot of $150 back, that sort of price range. I do believe this phone will work on T-Mobile and AT&T networks anyway here, if you've got the SIM. Okay. So I thought it would be a good idea to use the Mate 10 Pro, see what it is that was supposed to happen here in the United States, especially with, you know, MWC coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it.
And you got it. You got it delivered this afternoon.
I did. Right? Thank you, Huawei, for that. Yeah, because I really wanted, I saw a lot of, you know, the Android pals on social media, and, you know, you all know who, Michael Fisher and the sort, using this phone and posting the photos that they were taking with it. And I just really wanted to get my hands on one. And
how are the photos looking?
From what I've seen on Instagram, they look great, right? So I haven't used this at all. We're literally just going to open it right now.
Cool.
I did charge it a little bit just to make sure it was on. But we're just going to do a good old-fashioned unboxing. So
there it is.
Yes.
The Huawei Mate 10 Pro.
This is the Huawei Mate 10 Pro. It's a 6-inch, 18x9, full HD AMOLED display. IP67 rated, which is the hot new thing now. 6 gigs of RAM on the inside, which is also awesome. 128 gigs of storage. An octa-core Kirin 970 SoC. So
has
homemade
all that AI stuff.
Homemade by Huawei. This is a really, I'm going to take off this plastic on the back, because if you guys remember, I brought the Honor 8.
That's so satisfying.
Oh. Even the Honor 9 and, you know, the sister brand. Mm-hmm. And look how pretty this blue is.
Yeah, I know.
This pigment is gorgeous. This is what I love about phones these days, is this kind of colorization.
Yeah.
Because
sharp.
As you can see, I like painting my nails. And so I'm really into the idea of having a phone that's, I would love just like a crazy, you know, that's why we like cases.
I like the strip up the top too. That looks really nice how the light hits that.
Let's see. Okay, that's from the front. Yeah, so this is the back right here. And you've got the fingerprint scanner right here, just like on the Nexus 6P long ago, just on like most of Huawei and Honor's phones. And then back here, you've also got dual cameras, f.16 aperture on the main camera, Kirin AI processor. Should probably take this ginormous sticker off.
Such an eyesore.
Well, look, it's fingerprinty.
Yeah.
Already.
It's not as bad as some I've seen.
Yeah, I'm afraid to actually take this off. Look at those bezels, or lack thereof, I should say.
Yeah, the sides, it looks like non-existent. Top and bottom
look
are pretty minimal.
This phone is. This is. I'm going to move this out of the way real quick. This
what
is
the screen size? It's almost six. It's a six-inch.
Six-inch. Okay. 6-inch, 18x9. Just really, it's very light.
I like that blue, man. Let me tell you.
Nice in person, Ron.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get this all set up and all that. I already ordered a new SIM card because apparently you have to do that.
And this is by no means like a price conscious phone, right?
No, like, this is $800.
This is a flagship.
This is an
$800. This is not a price conscious phone at all. Oh, yeah. Look at the fingerprints, though. Look at that already starting. Oh,
I know. Yeah. And my fingers get. Oh. No.
That voice, by the way, just always sounds like
my heart just started.
She's been coughing for days and like you can hardly talk. She's like running out of breath. Anyway,
no.
They really need to replace that voice with something better. They already have something better. I don't know why they don't. Anyway,
so I'm gonna set this up, play with this.
Cool. Can I?
We're gonna do like a little. I'm gonna do a little reveal for us here if we just wanna.
Ooh. What's funny is that in Flo's hand, it looks like a tablet.
It does.
And in Jason's hand, it looks like a phone.
That's a really good point. And for those asking, I had to get a new SIM card because I am typically on Verizon and I had an MVNO.
Really like that.
But I stopped paying it for a while and they closed the account on me.
I think I'm switching to Project Fi.
Well, the problem is you can't just test any phone with Project Fi.
That's a good point. Maybe I shouldn't.
So I got an MVNO that's...
Well, wait a minute. But if you have the Project Fi SIM, you can still use it as a T-Mobile SIM, right? Or doesn't it... Or does it just not work in certain phones at all?
I have to be quite honest. I do not know.
I think it might still work, but it doesn't do the network hopping. I could be wrong on that.
Oh, there's a case inside the box too. That's nice.
Yeah, that's something
rare.
Yeah, a lot of
Chinese
alternate
brands do that.
Yeah, Chinese brands are doing. The cases are never that great that are included, but it's nice to have.
White.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, totally. And you know, and OEMs like OnePlus, and actually this is the same. It has the screen protector already on it, so if you want, you know, you don't have to apply it. It's already there. As long as you don't peel it up and get that air bubble under there.
I'm excited to
the edge.
Use this phone.
For a while.
I'm excited to use it and compare the photos to the Pixel 2 because I feel like at this point, don't even come at me with your phone unless it's the Pixel 2.
I've gone ahead and smudged it up very good for you.
No, that's okay.
Flo. So there you go.
Yeah, it's fine.
You can take all my smudgies.
You know what, guys? The Pixel's the same.
Yeah.
Pixel's the same. Just you just don't see it as much. It's all fingerprinty.
Just the way it is now.
Glass just the way
on the front
it is.
Back. Cool.
All right. Well, moving on. Photography is a big topic for us as we talk about phones. And I'm sure Flo will test the Huawei Mate 10 and its camera and get all that amazing Instagram stuff. But over on Google Land, on the Pixel 2, a new Pixel Visual Core update brings a couple of cool features to Pixel devices. So Visual Core is now open to all apps and third-party developers. So what does that mean? Instagram, WhatsApp, Snapchat. Start using Visual Core immediately to improve photos with those apps. And I got to tell you, on my Pixel 1, I've been having a real bear of a time with WhatsApp using the camera within WhatsApp. I got blurry, not as good photos.
Uh-oh.
I would have to pop out and use the camera app and then import it into WhatsApp. So I'm hoping this update deals with that. Because I did notice a difference between the WhatsApp camera and the regular camera. So interesting.
It absolutely should update that.
Yep.
I mean, I saw people on the social already kind of talking about, okay, Burke's throwing things at me. Already talking about how these apps are already showing like HDR+ quality photos as a result of this, which is a big reason why they made this change to begin with. So
cool.
That's awesome.
Is that why Snapchat was crashing on me these last couple days? Maybe?
No, it's because it's awful.
Go ahead, Ron. Sorry. That's what I get for interrupting Ron to talk about Snapchat. Sorry. You're right, Ron. Go ahead. I deserve that.
So this update, which, as ScooterX in the chat room points out, is available in the February security update, it also includes a technology called Razr, R-A-I-S-R, not R-A-Z-R, the Racer. Motorola phone that we love, Razr. That utilizes the AI to enhance the quality of digital zoom on Pixel phones. So instead of enlarging the pixels, the AI makes intelligent guesses that fill in the missing detail, resulting in sharper images. And that's going to be a ton of fun to play with. And I wish I had a Google Pixel 2 to play with it, but I'm going to have to take your guys' word for it if it actually works or not.
Yeah, so you can see the top. It's a little pixelated when you do the digital zoom on the bottom one. Instead of just stretching the size of the pixels, it's filling in those spaces by determining
the photo's big enough. Yeah,
you know what the obvious kind of fill-in pixel would be, I guess.
Well, isn't that what AI is supposed to do, right?
Yeah,
it's supposed
exactly.
to be able to fill in those blanks for us.
Exactly.
So eventually we just think it and it will come.
Yeah.
Much like the computer on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, it really does all come back to Star Trek when you think about it.
Today, it really most definitely should.
Does, especially this next news item.
Yeah, let's see here. So if you had one of many popular LG devices and you got in on this class action filing, then this is for you. If you have one of these devices and you didn't get in on a class action filing, sorry, you're out of luck. But basically, some popular LG handsets have been known very susceptible to boot looping out of nowhere, and a law firm filed a class action lawsuit against LG. LG instead agreed to extend the warranty on those devices for 30 days from the original purchase date. Was it 30 months? I think I got that wrong. It's 30 months. LG is also agreeing to offer up to $425. I'm missing numbers all over the place. $425 cash, or $700 towards the purchase of a new LG phone if you were in on this class action thing. The devices include LG G4, the V10, the V20, the Nexus 5X, and the LG G5. We've talked about, I mean, that was the problem that emailer had with the Nexus 5X months ago at this point, right?
I think that was weeks ago.
Was it weeks? God, every week feels like months, feels like years. But yeah, so I mean, this is an issue that a lot of people are having. I think that the trick here is that this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody that has a Nexus 5X. It's not, hey, I've got a 5X. I'm going to get some cash for it. You have had to have been in on this.
You have to have problems.
You have to have problems, and you had to be part of this class. Although Gerard Gibbs... What's that?
You had to have this specific problem, not just any problems in general.
Yes, yes.
Although no. I would think it would be great if LG, because they do stand for life's good, that they solved our problems with money. That'd be wonderful.
Gerard Gibbs, which is the law firm that filed this, encourages owners of these devices to contact LG directly, and if LG doesn't address the complaint, to follow up with the law firm. So, I mean, if you weren't in on the class action, maybe you could get some, but I doubt it. I think you actually had to be in there.
The law's involved.
I know.
Dang.
Yeah. So there you go. You might be rolling in the dough. Probably not, though.
Well, if you are rolling in the dough and you don't have an iPhone 10 yet, you could always buy one that looks like it.
I have one. Okay. I don't need it. I've got an iPhone. I've got the real thing.
You're borrowing it from your friend who has yours in exchange.
Don't worry. Right. You're right.
We will get you back. Don't worry, Jason.
Thank you. Please.
We won't be far off for long. I believe so. Mateo usually brings in these phones.
Yes.
The Ucatel. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Ucatel.
The new
Ucatel. Love it.
U18 device. It's a limited edition run of 999 total handsets. And could it be because it looks a little too similar like another very popular phone out there called the iPhone X? It doesn't really cost the same, though. This costs like less than a quarter of the price. It's $160 until tomorrow, and then it jumps up to a massive $180 USD.
Man.
So this is a 5.85-inch display with a notch on the top, just like it's copy sake, I guess. Wider bottom bezel compared to the iPhone X. And also cutting-edge technology called, wait for it, Face ID.
Wait a minute, it's got Face ID?
It's got
the same technology
ID.
That Apple?
The exact, not at all, the exact... It has a form of facial recognition, also called Face ID.
That they've also named so Face happens. ID, which just,
it just
so happens. Wow, that's bold.
The back is different, so maybe that's how they'll get it. You can kind of see the back in this little, for those watching the video, you can kind of see the back in this little press render. It's different.
Yeah.
And it's also got the vertical dual camera array and a fingerprint sensor on the back, which is very, like, very different from the iPhone's little corner.
Yes.
Corner salute that it's got going on the back.
Best cheap. For future.
It's cheap. It's 4,000 milliamps. It's $180, and it's by a company you've probably never heard of.
or can pronounce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's by a company that only Mateo's heard of.
I mean, I should just buy this just to try and spoof people and see, like,
yeah,
you know, like, hey, man, check out my new, whoa, Flo, you're on the iPhone?
I didn't
gotcha.
Know you.
Gotcha, it's Android.
So, but do you think we're going to see more of this emulating the notch trend?
I mean, yes, you know, that's a good point. Probably. Just like we got the curved, you know, edges and the one screen candy bar shape and
yeah,
you know, yeah, there's like, not much innovation when
it
comes
to more of that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh well, I guess we just have to get ourselves an Alcatel and deal with it. We know Mateo will, and we'll look
Hopefully
forward to the next time
the
he's on. Maybe he'll bring it on the show. We can do a side by side with the iPhone X that we have here. Oh, there's the side-by-side.
Oh, so there it is.
When you look at the notch, thank you. When you look at the notch, it is actually a little different. I mean, they're both notches. The
phone is taller, too, apparently.
It's longer, yeah. It's longer and thinner.
Longer,
yeah.
And it does a little curve-out, curve-in thing. It's like an S shape on the edges, where the iPhone is literally like just a curve. That's splitting hairs. They don't look absolutely identical, but they look pretty darn close.
I mean, does it matter if they're operating out of a country that doesn't have incredibly extreme copyright laws?
I don't think so. I mean, they're in China. They're in the place that you get away with this sort of thing. That's where it happens.
China
and
is
they're only
the
doing 999 devices.
Pokemon and Mickey Mouse are on the same fabric, and that is why I love shopping at AliExpress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where else can you find Mickey Mouse and Pikachu on the same bed sheet?
It's true. Now I know where to get my bed sheets. Hey, Victor, it's time for a couple of apps news items. $999 problems, but Apple ain't one. Not in
Thank
China.
Goodness.
Not in China.
We are so... Oh, I thought you meant us. We don't have Apple as a problem. And I was going to say, it's great.
I have Apple as a problem for 2 more weeks, but that's just me.
It's for science. It's fine.
Yeah, that's by your choice. Anyway. Yeah,
that's not-
So Flo, you missed last week on the show where I talked about the death of Nintendo Miitomo on Android, which is being shuttered right around our birthday, which
wow.
is very sad. Yeah. But... Nintendo taketh away and Nintendo giveth back. Nintendo announced plans to bring the Mario Kart franchise to mobile. Mario Kart Tour is aimed for a March 2019 release, and it's going to be coming to Android and iOS. It announced plans to work with Illumination on an animated Mario motion picture, which has nothing to do with Android, although I suppose you could watch that movie on an Android device once it's released to the Google Play Store. and so it looks as if... this announcement definitely balances out the shutdown of Miitomo, which honestly wasn't even a game. It was just a social network, and it was kind of dumb. And really double downing on what makes Nintendo great, playing go-karts with animated characters that some of them are Italian. So I'm excited. It's a me. I'm excited for this, even though now we have to wait a year for it.
Great. So. We know far in advance, and we have to wait a long time.
No,
Mario Kart's one of Nintendo's biggest franchises, so this makes
perfect
sense.
Yeah, it's the Mario Kart is literally the only reason why I have bought the last 3 Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, it's good on the Switch. And I will say that with Animal Crossing, definitely a part of my gaming rotation, my mobile gaming rotation, and I can just see this future that Nintendo was working towards because there's this like really nice synergy. First of all, I log in with my Google account on all of my Nintendo services now. So I log in with my Google account on Animal Crossing Pocket Camp and everything is synced there, which is great. I log in with my Google account on my Nintendo Switch and all of my friends that I've made in Animal Crossing are available there for me to play with on the Switch now. So
oh,
we can
awesome.
Like connect together and then we can play on the console. So I'm seeing this ecosystem that Nintendo's built and it makes me so excited because for a long time I stepped out of the Nintendo zone because it was too proprietary. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to carry a separate DS with me. Sometimes I don't want to carry the Switch with me. So I like to be able to have these little phones, these little games on my phone that I can like jump into the world, jump out. And I'm okay, by the way, with the in-app purchase stuff. Like, I've spent like $10 in Animal Crossing already. So it's okay. You got me there, Nintendo.
Nintendo's mobile apps aren't necessarily, I mean, how would you, so you have a Switch.
Yes, I do.
And you have a DS, so you're very, like that.
I have a Switch, DS somewhere collecting dust.
Somewhere, but yeah. you have experience. You have a history with the DS. That's a platform that I never had.
Yeah.
So from a mobile perspective, playing games on the Switch and the DS, which you were very familiar with, and now the stuff that Nintendo's putting out on mobile devices, I mean, it's not quite the same caliber, but are you happy with what you're seeing from
Nintendo? It's an extension. It's an extension of those worlds that, so Nintendo's very big on the worlds that they've created.
Yeah.
Like, that's their big thing, and that's how they keep us reeled in with Mario, for instance. With Animal Crossing, a world that I'm a part of and I was a part of on the 3DS, it's a different experience. This is a camp, so it's a different, like, narrative. You're putting together a campsite for your animal friends versus a house and a town. And so it's just, like, it's just another fun way to be a part of the world. It's not a replacement. So, but I don't want to go back to the 3DS because it's too much. I don't have that much time.
Yeah. No, I hear you there.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah.
I love that Nintendo has opened up
finally.
To this because there were years there where it was like, seriously, just do this.
Well, and then they were losing money.
Yeah.
And they were like, uh-oh, we should do something different. And now they are.
What money will do.
Well, it's amazing, right?
It's amazing.
What a motivator. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's a me.
And then finally, Google is apparently updating the Motion Stills app that they have. It's a standalone app that you can install for different like camera effects and stuff. Anyways, now they're going to update it to include the AR stuff that's very similar to what you find in the Pixel camera, the AR sticker things where you can plant a moving graphic in the camera view and plant it onto the table or whatever. And then when you move the phone, it stays firmly in place virtually on that table. But in this case, they're not using AR Core to do this within this app. Instead, they're using something called Instant Motion Tracking, which does a similar type of AR pinning, but it does it differently. It analyzes rotation and side-to-side translation in separate processes. So it means that you don't have to calibrate, doesn't require any extra hardware inside the device. It does have limitations, though. It doesn't allow for matching the 3D objects to real world scale. So there's a little bit of a limitation there. It only works on phones that actually have a gyroscope, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about phones with gyroscopes in an email. But yeah. So if you like the AR sticker stuff that you've seen on Pixel devices, but you don't have a Pixel device, this is one way to get it on your Android device as long as you have a gyroscope.
As you have a gyroscope.
Yep.
It is neat. It's good.
Yeah.
It's neat.
AR is the future. At least that's what everybody keeps saying. We'll see about that. All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. Then we'll jump into a bunch of email. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV. And IT Pro TV, if you've ever checked it out before, like it might feel a little familiar because it's a live studio producing tech content for IT, for the IT world. You can sharpen your IT skills, empower your team with the content that you find on IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training with more than 125 hours added weekly. That's 3,300 hours of content right now. Stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide. Support Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, PC. You can use the iOS and Android apps. Basically, if you have a device, you can get IT Pro TV. There's no need to go off site for training. IT Pro TV does IT live every day, so you know that you're getting the most current IT training because they're teaching on current topics. Courses include CEHV9, CISA, SQL Server 2016, Azure 7533, CCNA, Security, CompTIA, A+, and more. All sorts of things. And I'll be honest, I'm not in IT, so some of these things are foreign language to me. But if you're in the IT world or you want to jump into the IT world, you know, it might be foreign language to you too, but this is how you learn. It's educational and their team is passionate about it. So it's really easy to learn from their instruction and from their demonstrations. You can track your team's results, improve the ROI of your training spend with IT Pro TV's supervisor portal. That'll give you full control over your team's training schedule. You can create custom groups and training assignments, view logins. You can make sure everybody's watching the stuff, viewing time, video downloads, course completion tracking. You can see individual and group analytics to make sure that the groups are keeping up to speed on the content that you're assigning to them. And you can check out their team solution for group pricing as well. People are using IT Pro TV to improve their lives and to get their dream jobs. That's actually what happened for James Packer, who discovered IT Pro TV, got his whole team to dive into that content. He actually incentivized their learning through the service and ultimately ended up being offered a job in the Cayman Islands, literal paradise. Doesn't that sound nice? James attributes his qualifications for that dream job to his time learning while watching IT Pro TV. So you can learn enough to take you to the Cayman Islands. Take that and see how far you can take that. If you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solution, contact them for a team free trial, including their supervisor portal. Just go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid. Or you can sign up for an individual monthly membership and a free 7-day trial. Just go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30. That's AAA30. You'll receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. Join the more than 90,000 IT Pro TV members today. Premium subscriptions, which include unlimited Transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year, $857. But you only pay $600 when you go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, ROI proven. That's itpro.tv/allaboutandroid, code AAA30. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support and for showing how it's done. It's live content on the internet done right. itpro.tv/allaboutandroid. All right, it's time for some emails.
Before we do the emails, I too would like to move to the Grand Cayman Islands.
Shouldn't we all just move to the Cayman Islands?
I mean, it's beautiful there. I can't think of a better place to do work at.
I'm not sure I could do island life, guys.
Really?
Oh, what? Have you been there? Have you been?
No.
Oh, Flo, it is truly paradise.
All right, I could live my life in paradise. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm a big, big Cayman fan. The water is like crystal clear. Oh. The sand is like sugar. It's like, it's amazing. Oh. It's great. So yeah, anyway,
that sounds sweet.
Emails are pretty good too.
That's right. We got a few of them. It's so we're gonna read them. Yeah, did you catch what I said there? Yes. This is sand with sugar. And I said, okay.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that was good.
let me explain to you why the joke is funny. I'm a dad.
We know.
Did I mention I'm a dad? Dad jokes is part of my makeup, my biology.
Your repertoire, repertoire.
Don Whitaker wrote into AAA@twit.tv and said, while listening to episode 353 in my car on the way home from work, I was pleased to hear that Flo and Mateo were extolling the virtues of Android Pay. It's good to hear how secure the transactions are. I use it too and find it very easy to use. Sorry, Jason. And then an emoji that goes like this. Something like that. It says, plus I hate carrying a wallet. Anyways, when I got home, there was a box waiting for me. They're usually for my wife. Curses Amazon, Sephora, Ulta. Well, imagine my surprise when I opened the box and saw the following. These were sent to me from the Android Pay team for using their app so much. I thought that was a real cool gesture from them and thought you could give them a shout out on your show if you thought so too. And basically it's like a collection, a 6 Android figurine collection, collectible Android figurines. So you've got Batman, you got Wonder Woman, you got Superman.
Yes,
you got
this is part of a big promotion that they were doing over the holiday after Justice League came out. They were doing this Android Pay promotion. And every time you used it, you would get one of these and I guess be entered in to win this. This is awesome. So I guess this is what this whole thing is for. I feel regretful because I didn't use my Android Pay a lot. I did a lot of my shopping online. I like... don't leave the house. So, because I work from home.
it. Not don't leave home without it. Just don't leave home. Right?
No, I mean, when you can buy everything online, how are you going to use that stuff? And then when I do try to pay in person, I'm still finding a lot of places don't take NFC.
Yeah. That's
maybe I just need it next time. I just need to go to Starbucks like every day and just get something because I'm just trying to get.
Yeah, but then it's like a part-time job. Although you do get coffee, so that's nice. But
yeah,
then it becomes like a job, like a task you have to do, and it really shouldn't be.
It takes the fun out of trying.
I'm just working for my Android figurines. Got to go to Starbucks today. Can't miss a day. Like you don't want it to be that either, right?
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe you do.
I mean. I work from home in a small town. You got to have something to keep you leaving the house every day.
Anyways, I thought that was pretty cool. Don, you're lucky.
I'm biting my tongue.
Why?
Yeah.
Quit biting that tongue. Loose lips sink ships, Ron. Yeah, but we want those ships sunk.
No, it's cool. It's cool to get a collectible thing. I mean, Justice League, sure. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I figured that's tongue biting. Happening.
Let's move on.
yes. So another activity that I like to partake in is not in this. I completely lost track. I was trying to make a segue to something else, and I lost track. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's okay. It's happened to all of us.
So this one's from Kevin H. There we go. Kevin wrote an email. I was a headphone jack militant, so I grabbed the Pixel XL closeout when you guys started reporting that it was gone in the Pixel 2s. 6 months later, I had ruined the jack while in my pocket.
Oh.
Google replaced it. No questions. Your advice, move on, kept ringing in my head. So I found one of those Bluetooth doohickeys that you plug your favorite wired phones into. Had to try a few before I found one that reliably connected without micro dropouts. So you have converted me. Thanks for all the great advice. I never miss AAA. It's an absolute jewel. Thanks,
aww,
Kevin H.
That's nice.
So nice. What we have here.
The Griffin iTrip Clip Bluetooth headphone adapter with controls, play, control, and talk on your smartphone without wires.
This.
Is that the title of the that whole thing?
Well, this is how you have to put stuff on Amazon because that's how the search engine works, I guess. But this is your standard Bluetooth dongle that you just plug in your headphones into. And Victor, if you don't mind going through the quick little carousel there on the side just to show. Yeah. So
you plug any headphones plug into this anything. And it broadcasts it via Bluetooth.
Bluetooth. You I just got to make sure before. That you charge it. I don't see how this. Oh, yeah. If you go to the very last one, the very last photo, you'll see it charges via micro USB. And it's super cheap. You can actually buy cheaper ones than this, though. I know this is $17, but Bestek, B-E-S-T-E-K, makes one that's like $8 is the one that I use. And I keep it in my purse all the time. It's
and
always
no micro
there.
Dropouts? Because that was one thing that he was complaining about is that like he's tried a few of them and there would be like micro dropouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, in my car, I still get micro dropouts. So I stopped using Bluetooth in my car. Bluetooth dongles in my car. But when I'm walking, it's not that bad. As long as, but I use a different, I use Bluetooth headphones when I'm like doing athletic things because those are more fit for when you're jumping up and down. But if I'm walking around SF with headphones, I usually put the little dongle, like I'll have a pocket in my shirt, so I'll just like wrap it up and put it in there.
Okay. And then Robot.
Ron just made a face that I saw, by the way, on the TV. Sorry,
do you know what I'm thinking now?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming, I think.
What do you think I'm thinking?
I think you think I'm a dork.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, a lovable dork, don't get me wrong. But I mean, we have all these arguments about Bluetooth headphones, and you're literally using a device to plug headphones into to connect via Bluetooth?
Yes.
Okay. Just saying.
Well, what else am I supposed to do with all those 16 pairs of free headphones I've accumulated over the years?
I mean, you could just throw them out and get a pair of Bluetooth headphones and cut the middleman out.
That's so weird. I do have Bluetooth headphones. I have several pairs.
You might have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to headphones. I know. I think this is great for Kevin in a scenario where his headphone jack breaks and he comes up with a solution for that.
And this but has you could a clip, also, so you don't have to put it in your pocket like dorky
right,
flow.
But you could also just get Bluetooth headphones and be fine. I understand Bluetooth headphones are expensive and maybe, you know, whatever. Anyway, let's go to the next email, actually, because this is kind of arguing against it. Tony writes in, and in response to my review of the Google Pixel Buds, which I talked about last week, Tony said, I really wanted to like the Pixel Buds. I was not able to get the right earbud to stay in. I guess my ears are different. The touch sensitivity was really annoying, causing me to constantly start and stop podcasts when I didn't want it. There's also no way to easily turn them off. I had to find the case and put them in the case before I started my car. My phone would fail to pair with my car. Other than that, they were nice.
Other than all of those things, they were nice. I liked them a lot.
I don't want to point by point tell Tony that he's wrong, but some responses. I also had a problem getting the right earbud to stay in. And what I actually had to do was I have them right here because I use them every day now. I did not pair the headphones with my phone. And what I did was I played with that little thing of the cord. And I just kept on, I put it in my ear and I would slide it up until it felt snug, and I actually found out that I need a big old loop for this to stay in my right ear, and now it never falls out. Oh. So it just takes some experimenting with that loop to kind of get the hang of it. Also, you know, he said the touch sensitivity was really annoying. I agreed with that. I mentioned that in my review that it took a bit of a you know, trial and error to get the right balance of, ooh, don't touch it, or something that you don't want to happen is going to happen. But once you kind of figure that muscle memory out, it's okay. But he does say there's no easy way to turn them off. And Tony, I suspect you did not read the manual that came with it or the little link that goes to it on how to use your earbuds, Pixel Buds. Because if you did, you would have found out that all you need to do is double tap the right earbud, and that handles the disconnect and connect function. So it's there. Like, they did think of some of this stuff. It's not totally intuitive out of the box. That's why you kind of got to read up on it. But if it didn't work for you, it didn't work for you. That's okay. Yeah. Try another one.
No, but he says they're nice.
They're nice. Other than that, they're nice. So. The car thing I can't speak to. Bluetooth. See, here's the thing about Bluetooth. All right. I've talked to many electrical engineers who've worked with the Bluetooth stack, and apparently the state of the code in the Bluetooth and Bluetooth LE stack is horrendous. It is a mess.
Yeah.
To the point where the best devices that utilize Bluetooth have a lot of rewritten proprietary code that engineers at Google or Apple or whatever hacked at to get it to work the way we expect it to. So Bluetooth with cars and having problems, I'm not surprised. That's the protocol's problem in my mind. So
Bluetooth on Android, just in general, it just has issues.
It's getting better.
It's getting better.
Dude, these things, when I turn on these Pixel Buds, they connect. I don't have to do anything. It just blink and it works.
Nice.
Like the pairing process, all I did was put it next to the phone and blink, it found it and paired. It was like, it honestly is magic.
Nice.
Oh, it's magic.
No. excellent. All right. We have an email from Simon Miller. Simon Miller from Boise, Idaho. Or I don't know about Boise, but he says Idaho. Anyways,
oh, hey.
He says,
I'm a fellow Idahoan.
I'm from Idaho. Hey, let's Idaho sometime. I'm a long-time listener, he says, as well as a social media follower of AAA. And you three have been an Android junkie, starting with the OG Motorola Droid with the slider keyboard. I also jumped into the custom ROM community, loading Pete's Bugless Beast ROM. That was my ROM. Back in the day, that was my ROM. I'll never forget how scared I was when rebooting after using ADB to load the custom images. We've all been there. Okay, so anyways, he says, I'm also an educator and technology leader in my school district in Idaho. He says, am I the first Idaho emailer? I don't think you are. But it's nice to have you. And we have been a G Suite for EDU, for Education District, since 2007. My latest project is to begin building a Google Expeditions kit from scratch.
Ooh.
Currently, Best Buy sells the kits, but they are expensive and our budgets are limited.
Yeah.
I've done a little research, but I'm still trying to find a phone that would work. The gyroscope, we talked about that earlier, seems to be the tough feature to find on budget Android phones. My ask is to seek your input on some low-cost Android phones that will fit in a viewfinder for Expeditions that's 5 to 6 inches, that are also capable of running the Expeditions. So they'd have to have, by the Expeditions requirements, a gyroscope and an accelerometer at the minimum. Love the show. Listen often on my daily runs. Thank you for the time and effort. And I think most phones are going to find, I mean, they're pretty much all going to have an accelerometer, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that requirement is probably going to be pretty easy. But yeah, I did some poking around, and Gyroscope, I just kind of assumed Gyroscope was in most phones. But when you get into the low-end phones, they're not there. And so that basically, that means not only the expeditions, but you can't do cardboard VR. Like, VR on Android pretty much requires a gyroscope in the phone in order to do it. So if you don't have it, you're not going to get good results there. So it's kind of a difficult way to go. And like, I don't know what your budget is. I found a link to a article that was focused on this 10 cheapest smartphones with a gyroscope for VR on Insider Monkey, a site I've never heard of. But hey, what can I say? I found an article that's exactly what you're talking about. It's a little old. It's mid last year. But their number one pick was the Xiaomi Redmi 4A, which is $115. So that's about as cheap as their list gets. And I'm just kind of curious what phones are out there that, you know, this gyroscope just is a spec point that I don't normally track. So finding a phone that's that inexpensive, which I would have to imagine if you're on a budget for a classroom, this even feels expensive. You know, if you're trying to equip an entire classroom with devices to do a big expedition with. Yeah, that adds up quick. So I don't know what your budget is. But, you know, you could try something like this maybe if you feel comfortable ordering a bulk amount of Xiaomi devices for the classroom. I don't know if there's maybe a bad reason you shouldn't do that. But
I mean, I was under the impression that there's an education program that people can go through with, like, Google to apply for.
For, like, financial assistance?
Yeah, or something. Or I don't know. I might just be making this up, but I'm assuming.
Yeah. I thought that I was going to find in my searches some sort of guide from Google that says, you're thinking about bringing expeditions to your classroom. Here's some recommended devices. Here's a recommended way to go. And they talk a lot about the app and you know, the features of the app and what you can do if you have cardboard viewer for all students and everything. But they don't really go into specifics as far as like what devices would be financially feasible for a classroom setting.
Yeah, $400 a device is not financially feasible for a classroom setting.
That's not going to work at all.
But
and then relying on the students to bring in their own phones, that just sounds like a nightmare. Your school might not allow for that. You know,
well, I think this speaks to a bigger thing, too. Just if we want to start integrating this kind of technology into our schools, companies need to be more realistic about how these schools can get these things into their districts because, you know, education funding isn't as...
yeah, right. Yeah, I'm really curious to know
good
what the budget
is. Is it maybe was?
Yeah.
Or maybe is.
I mean, that seems to be the big challenge of something like expeditions. It's really cool that a teacher could lead
this virtual
expedition.
Well, if you could get Chromebooks into a classroom, what about a science classroom? Having that be a part of the science curriculum to have expeditions, or having expeditions be a part of a history or geography. Like, I could see this being used in a history class. So you can just, like, go back to, like,
history
medieval
or
times
geography.
Both of
those are prime examples.
Yeah. Usually those classes are taught by the same teacher, history and geography, or at least in my experience. And so, you know, it's kind of a bummer that there isn't an easy way to figure this out. Like, that is something I would assume Google would want to provide a resource on.
Yeah. And maybe they do. And we've
But it speaks to, if it's so hard for us to find it, then obviously it's not very visible.
There are a number of devices in here. Maybe go through the list and see if this, you know, qualifies for your price point. The Redmi 4A, the Meizu M3S, ZTE Z Max Pro, which is $150. So there are options in here. ZTE Blade V7 Lite, $160. Bleak is saying the Huawei P9 under $200. There are options. You probably have to settle for the fact that you're getting a device that varying level of support. Let's say, you know, if you're importing a Chinese device into the U.S. that comes with its own set of potential pitfalls, you know? So keep that in mind. In a classroom environment, that could be really challenging, potentially.
Yeah, so. And then that stuff goes by the way, like, it it expires very quickly.
There is an expiration date, right? Like at a certain point, it's outdated and it's not being supported anymore. And here you are stuck with 30 of these devices. And that's a big challenge for Google right there if they want Expeditions to thrive.
I could have sworn there were Expeditions online that you could do with Google. Anyway, we'll look into that.
Yeah.
We'll look into that offline.
All right. You've got the next email.
Yeah.
Or the last email, rather.
Last email. This one comes from Richard.
Richard.
You were so helpful when I emailed back in November about Essential and its phone that I thought I'd try to pick your brains again. What's your take on convertible flip Chromebook as a replacement for my NVIDIA Shield K1 tablet that suddenly decided it doesn't want to charge anymore? The larger form factor, keyboard, and increasing support for Android apps have me intrigued. Are there any models you'd recommend in the 10 to 11 inch range? Preferably something that won't break the bank. Or am I just destined to be as disappointed as you were with the mystery flavor Oreos? Thanks again. Well, thank you, Richard. I'm glad we could help last time. And in this instance, I would say, so I'm using daily the Chromebook Flip C302 from Asus, and it's a convertible. It flips back into a tablet, and it's great. It really is great. It's a great machine that I use to co-work. Like, I use this to work at cafes and stuff, but I only use it for writing. Once in a while, I'll flip it over if I want to play, like, a game of Pokemon, or, like, if I need to sign PDFs. I really appreciate having, like, the touchscreen because I could take out a stylus
right.
and literally sign. So there are a lot of really good, productive things you can do with a Chromebook. But when it comes to the things you normally do with a tablet, which is cuddle with it in bed, maybe you want to cuddle with it on the couch, maybe you want to prop it on your knees, maybe you're on a plane in a really squished space and you want to take out, you know, a screen and watch some movies because what's on the entertainment program doesn't entertain you. This is not a good replacement for that. This is not a good replacement for the situations. It's not, you know, it's a laptop through and through. Like, it's supposed to be used as a laptop first and a tablet second. And even with the Android app support, it's nice for things like when I want to play my Pokemon game, which is like tablet only or whatever. It's nice like to have Instagram on here so I can just do the Instagram stories that way. And I can type my responses on my keyboard to people instead of through my phone. But it is not like a tablet replacement, though it is only like $500 or under $500 now.
I mean, the big challenge is there just aren't a whole lot of tablet options out there at this point. And I know we've said on the show in the past, like, at least I know I've said it, where I almost recommend people, instead of getting an Android tablet, get a convertible Chromebook, because then you get the best of both worlds. You get the productivity aspects of the Chrome OS, and you get the tablet app support, more or less, in Android apps. But
it's a heavy, trying to do this with the Chromebook and then like me getting like trying to get comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I just don't cuddle
with my tablets.
I know, but I'm being really serious because I know a lot of people do use their devices in bed the way that I do. Like, I do a lot of work from bed, so I need stuff to be usable when I'm laying down, and this in tablet mode is not usable, not in a comfortable manner.
So that's the C302. It's a $469 solution. If you wanted something a little less expensive, you could look for the Asus Chromebook Flip C101PA.
That's the one
that we linked in the doc. I should have let you know, Victor. No, it's all good. So you saw that just a few minutes ago. It's $299. That's a less expensive option. But there you're only getting 16 gigs of storage, and that's important because on Chrome OS, from what I understand, Android apps are not installable on micro SD card storage.
No.
So if you've got limited onboard storage, like 16 gigs, and we know Android apps, depending on which ones you're downloading, games, that sort of stuff, take up a lot of space. You could be really limited if you get something with 16 gigs of onboard storage. Even though it has micro SD card expansion, that doesn't apply to Android apps yet. They should really work on that. They should make that happen. So keep that in mind. You're kind of shortchanging yourself potentially. But those are a couple of options. I don't know if that's helpful.
I think you should just get the tablet Ron got if you want a tablet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't want to chime in, but I did want to remind everyone that Asus.
Also Asus.
I can never, I can never remember the dang name. I need to look it up. It's the Asus Asus 3S10. That's what it's called. The 3S10. It's fantastic. It's been great. I've been traveling with it. I'm using it. I'm using it not only to watch video and to read comics and to read books, but also doing a little light email and things like that when I'm on the road. It's just fantastic. And the case I have does the little tent, you know, the little triangle case design. So when I'm in bed, I can, when I'm in a hotel on the road, whatever, I can watch my It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and be happy.
Nice. So that's a good solution. $300.
Yep.
Oh, that's the other thing. These things are hard to read on the Chromebook flips. Like, this is not a reading device. It's too dense to hold up comfortably.
Oh, like if you're using it.
If you want to read on it, it's not.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Okie dokie. Well,
but I love my Chromebook, just not for cuddling.
Yeah. I don't cuddle with my Chromebook. All right, Ron.
Let's thank our last sponsor. We want to thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And it couldn't be a better time to talk about FreshBooks. And I'll get to that in a second. But first, did you know 44 million people have a second job? I've got several second jobs. And if you're one of them, you've got a side hustle, a passion project, a convenient source of extra income. So make sure you're on the right track with FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software. Their intuitive dashboard will give you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports. You'll know how you're doing at any given moment, and you'll be ahead of the game during tax season, as we were talking about earlier in the show. You definitely want to get ahead of tax season. FreshBooks can help you do that. And of course, with FreshBooks, you can send professional-looking invoices in seconds, save time accepting credit cards online, and get paid an average of 2 times faster. So listen, no more chasing clients for payments, waiting in line at the bank. You can accept credit card payments directly from your invoice. This is a game changer. You can see what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as overdue and outstanding invoice totals. You can create proposals with rich text content, images, customizable sections, and more. And you'll know what you did and when you did it, so you'll never leave money on the table again. FreshBooks makes it easy to bill for time by client and by specific project. And let me tell you, just this past week, my wife was looking for a solution to keep track of all her freelance work. I said, hey, check out FreshBooks. They're fantastic. They advertise on Twit because they've got a great product. Sure enough, she signed up and she loves it. And she uses the FreshBooks app, which allows her to stay connected to her clients, can help you stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are. FreshBooks automatically connects to your bank account and updates expenses daily. All you got to do is take a picture of your receipt, upload it, and let FreshBooks do the rest. From payment reminders to late fees, you can automate as much or as little as you'd like to so you can get back to doing what you love. So make this year your most productive year yet. With FreshBooks, you'll be ready when tax time comes along, and you'll be set up for success when you decide to turn your passion project into that full-time gig. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to try FreshBooks for free for 30 days. Go to FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for their support and keeping our businesses going, helping us get paid faster, and just being awesome. Thank you, FreshBooks.
Thank you, FreshBooks.
And that's a true story. She is indeed using FreshBooks now for her freelance work. So
right on.
It's a great product.
That's because it's awesome.
Walk in the walk.
Mm-mm, that should be their tagline. FreshBooks, because it's awesome. All right. Without any further delay, it's time to rush into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Arena.
So before we get into it, a couple of things about the arena last week. As you may remember, it was just myself and our guest Aaron Newcomb. So that means that puts the guests in a very good position to continue their streak. When we started the arena last week, the guests were in first place. Jason and Flo taking a bit of a ding by not appearing on the show. So keep that in mind as we look at the results of last week.
Oh, boy. Nice setup. Okay. So last week, bit.ly/AAAShow354, it was two apps to vote between, either Scheduled or Stranger Things, the game.
And listen, it was really hard to go up against like the most popular Netflix TV series in years.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised Scheduled did as good as it did, to be honest with you.
57% for Stranger Things, the game. Team Guest gets the win there. Scheduled at 43%.
Now, what's great is that even though I lost, I still get second place points. So I'm okay with that. And so
that's a really great point.
So the arena standings, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, through 5 weeks of 2018, this is early. This is the first inning, folks. guests are in first place with 17 points. I am in second place with 13 points. Jason is in third with 11 points. And Flo bringing up the rear with 6 points in last place. Flo, you can do it, though. It just takes a couple of first places, and you can be back in it.
True.
So, right. Does this mean I go first? Game. Do I go first since I lost?
Well,
or do I go last because I'm the only one who showed up for work last week?
I think that's how it goes. I think you go last because you're the returning of all of us. You won more than us.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
We really lost. You won more than us, even though you lost. So yeah. I'll go first. So I found an app. So it all started when. I found an app that I actually like the look of. I also like the mission of. If you are living a life of bills and income and payments and you're having a hard time balancing it all, like keeping track of it. I think that's really what this app is all about. Keeping track of all of these different dates. You know, maybe you have your Netflix payment that's due and, you know, they recurringly bill you or whatever, but a lot of things don't. Maybe you have to remember to pay your mortgage payment, or you have to remember that on the 13th of the month you have to pay your dog sitter, or I don't know what the thing is, but basically this app is called Prism. And its purpose, it's designed to import all of your important accounts and track for you when bills are due so that you don't miss them. See, no surprises. I'll go ahead and say that. So I only imported a couple of things in here to illustrate because you guys don't need to see my finances. But it's okay if you see that I'm a paid Netflix subscriber, and it looks like payment for Netflix is generally due on February 9th. That's this Friday. $10.99 is what we pay for that. And it's basically a running calendar that shows you kind of details about your bills as they're coming up so that you can keep track of these things, be reminded of them, and not miss a payment. And hopefully that means that you're saving, you know, late payment fees or whatever the case is. I've got Netflix. I've also happened to have Audible imported here. You notice I get paid every week $500,000 every week. So I'm rolling in the dough. I'm making about $2 million a month right now, which is pretty good for me. I'm looking to increase that, but anyways.
like, what? Where did you get this dream job?
You know, this is all, I'm working with real numbers here, folks. I want you to understand, this is how my life is right now. So, you know, I'm making $2 million a month. I've got $25 in expenses. It's been a good month, February. Anyways, you can import all this stuff. You can add in your bank accounts so that your information is imported in there from your bank accounts so you can track that. Credit accounts, if you happen to have loans or mortgages that you're paying off, to track loan balances, all that kind of stuff. And you can see it. Like, I just really like the design of it. The layout of it is really nice. You can track by month, obviously. You know, we haven't got to March, April, or even later, but it can track into the future. If I was to add an account, let's see here, add a bill, and you can go through here, and it has all these different categories of different, you know, different things that you can add. Is it an internet, a recurring internet thing? Yeah, oh man, yeah, never mind. You guys have seen this app before. I know you loved it the first time, but I really felt the need to show it to you a second time because I just don't think you, I don't think you remembered the first time that you saw it. You needed me to remind you.
Nobody remembered. Nobody remembered about this.
You needed me to remind you how great this app is. Who brought this app the first time, Ron? Do you happen to know?
I'm looking at it right now. I wanted to see if there was, let's see, Prism.
Well,
Prism Bills and Money. It was AAA.
It was Ron.
It seems like a Ron app, to be honest.
It was Ron.
Well, no, hang on now. That was 2 years ago, almost to the date, February 2nd, 2016.
Oh.
I mean, there's a good chance the app has gone through some dramatic changes, maybe, or.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Yeah, it's gone through changes.
No, actually, it looks exactly like when I did it.
I just wanted to remind you guys that there is an app called Prism. Ron was amazing.
He was really onto something. He was, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? I just don't think I was ready to listen.
No, you
to Ron
weren't.
Then.
You were not ready.
I
to
was
listen
not
back
ready
then.
To embrace his
while.
Suggestion of
here's
Prism.
The question. But here's the thing, though, Jason. As you're talking about Prism, It did not win.
Well, it deserves to.
It should have.
It's really good.
That was before we went on a points-based system.
Yes, Earth Viewer Beta won, and that was our good friend of the show, Liam.
Okay.
And that won the show. So
I can understand that. Liam brings star power. I understand why people would vote for his app, even though it's not as good as this one.
Listen, as someone who's made the same mistake within the past 3 weeks.
This mistake is happening so frequently now.
I think it's a byproduct of a combination of things. One, it's 2018 and we've been doing this show since 2011.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, about that.
Jason was sick for a week. Yeah. Let's cut him some slack.
I was really excited when I saw this one. I was like, yes, love it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Was I on that show? I probably
was. Yes, you were. Yes, you had Quester. Do you want to know what app
that would have been my obvious out.
Do you want to know what app you had? You had Quester with a Q.
That game
GTD
right
app?
Getting yeah. big yep I remember yep. that okay well you know if you haven't checked out Prism in a couple of years, I think it's time to revisit it because it looks really great and it's just really nice. You need to do yourself a favor and pay your bills on time, like Ron told you 2 years ago, and you didn't listen to him. And I'm just saying, like, you need to listen to when Ron says to check it out. You need to listen to him. And I'm just here to remind you that you didn't, and it's time that you do. It's called Prism. Okay.
I think I'm next.
Flo, you're next.
Oh, Jason.
I have to make sure to cut back to your single to catch the conviction in your...
Thank you. I'm serious. This is all on purpose. Anyways, Flo, go.
Well, so I am a fan of Google Keep most indefinitely. However, I find that the widget for Google Keep is just not worth keeping on my home screen. So I went in search of a new widget to help me come up with my daily to-do list or life to-do list, something that looks prettier and nicer on my home screen because, you know, I'm all about that quote-unquote aesthetic. So what I did is I went and I found this app called Stuff.
That sounds so, like, extreme. Like, Stuff! Stuff!
It's called Stuff To-Do Widget, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
So it's called Stuff To-Do Widget, and I'm going to move my head so I'll stop being in the shot. And as you can see, it is a widget here on my home screen. I put it on my fun page. This is my fun page with my fun apps. But you could put it closer to the main home screen if you like, if you decide. The nice thing about the Stuff To-Do Widget is that it is completely customizable. So after I've placed the widget, so you can add tasks individually just by tapping on it. So you can mark them as complete. When you need to, you'll see them X out on the screen. You'll see a today list, tomorrow list, upcoming someday. If you decide to make this widget a little smaller, that's okay because you can just scroll through it. You can click over here to the slight side to get like the full readout of your to-do list, what you've had in the past, what you've got coming up, what you've got someday, maybe you've got hopes and dreams. Nice thing about it is you can go through and edit the categories. You could also change the colors as you see fit. My favorite part of this app is, if I can remember how to get to it, because I customized it and then completely forgot how to get into it. So when you get into the Stuff app, here, I'm going to do this offline. Sorry, Victor. Okay, I found it. So you go back into the Stuff app and in your home screen, and you will see the settings icon. So you can go in and do a couple extra things like auto-completing tasks, hiding the launcher icon if you want that out of there, backing up your data, which is awesome, as well as where is my customizable screen? Here we go. It's right here. Customize. So you can actually go in and customize the widget's background color, or you can make it transparent like I did. You can choose corners, margins. You can basically go in and make this widget to match your home screen, which is one thing that I really liked because, again, I'm all about like the neat aesthetic on my phone. I like customizing it, but I don't want to install a custom launcher. I like my Pixel launcher. I'd like to keep it what it is. So I try to find apps like these to kind of help me along the way, and stuff is good. I am using the pro version, which I believe was about a dollar or so. So you want to use that if you want to unlock everything. But, you know, support your developers, especially if you want something pretty and simple like this.
Like it.
Stuff. Yeah.
Stuff. I like that stuff.
Stuff to do widget.
Some nice stuff there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something about your phone?
Yes.
What is the big round dot thing on the front?
Oh, this is... Sorry, I forgot to take this off. This is a magnet for a wide-angle lens that I have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was a style thing.
No, no, no. It's a magnet. I know it's
yeah, I was wondering if it was like a case or something.
Yeah.
No, no, no. It's stuff.
Magnet. Stuff.
This is stuff. Wide-angle lens.
So I can do my Snapchats with wide-angle if I want to.
It's important.
I can look like a fisheye, you know, like a MTV, like... Hot,
like,
cool.
Like the Kardashians?
No, they use like, they're like 4K anyway. It's too crispy for me.
Far too crispy. Far too okay, crispy. So that was stuff.
Stuff.
Too stuff. Ron, I have your app installed. I'll show it off.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, sure. This is real simple. It's called Sketch It, and it's a material design based, very simple, also open source drawing app.
Ooh, open source.
For those of you with Samsungs with the little stylus or other phones that might have styluses or just looking for a way to sketch things with your finger, real simple. You get a little canvas there. You can draw on it. You can change. What are you drawing? Oh, okay. Whew. Oh, my Lord, Jason. You can
draw
a little face.
Don't go there.
Well, I thought you were. But you can draw a little face, and yeah, so there it is. Up on the top, you can change the thickness of the brush. You can change the color. You can undo the last thing you did.
Ooh, Jason was a doodler.
Yeah, look at that. So yeah, Jason, if you hit the brush icon, you can see along the top a little material design. You can change the brush pattern and style. You can change the color there. Maybe you want to fill in the hair. Maybe get some pink going on there. There you go. Or green, whatever.
Okay.
You can do a big thick kind of thing. There you go.
Oh, you're doing lines. Oh,
you're doing lines. Undo. There you go. Whoa. Hey-o. Change the style. Oh, you're doing lines again. That's fine. That's cool. So yeah. So there it is.
I see. I got
yeah.
You.
Yeah. So you were in that kind of mode. Okay. But yeah, it's pretty simple. You can, if you hit the plus sign, you can choose to do a new picture or save your picture or import something if you want to edit something that exists. But here you're going to save it to the gallery. If you tap on album, go over to album and you'll see there's your picture. It's right there. It keeps track of everything. If you back out of there, go back to album. And if you hit the settings kind of gear, you can see some very simple settings. You can delete everything. You can also change the color of the top nav. Just very simple. It's by an independent developer who's just you know, making apps, and it's kind of fun to support a good open source drawing app. So there it is, real simple. Sketch It, free in the Google Play Store.
And you too can make this beautiful. Yeah. I don't know what's
going
on.
It's very 90s. It's very like Doug.
Oh yeah, yes. I guess, yeah, it kind of is.
I thought you were drawing one of those Rick and Morty characters. I don't watch that show though, but
I don't either.
Neither.
Yeah. I think you would like it though, from what I can tell, Jason.
If you've seen how I draw, you know, yeah. I would love that show.
Yep.
This is Sketch It. This beautiful picture can be yours if you install Sketch It.
Ooh, ooh, Sketch It. Ooh, ooh.
Okay, so we've got three apps for you to vote for. Two and a half. I mean, Prism was 2 years ago. I just don't know how much it's changed in the time. So you know what?
Jason, I mean, like, I don't know. I love you. I had to take a DQ 3 weeks ago. So
okay.
I will get you a DQ.
Okay.
To help.
A Dairy Queen? Maybe a Dairy Queen? I'll take one of those. Okay. Well, then if you don't think that you should, then don't. Don't vote for Prism. Definitely
don't vote
for Prism.
If you think that you should, though.
If you think that you should vote for Stuff or for Sketch It, however, then go to twit.to/AAApoll355. twit.to/AAApoll355 and place your vote.
What is Victor going to vote for?
For your favorite app. Oh, he almost did it.
Victor likes widgets.
Stuff. Victor's a fan of the stuff. Excellent. We will check in on that next week and see who is the winner and remind you who is the loser.
I'm sorry, Jason.
It's okay. It's all right.
So now in March, Flow is going to come with a repeat app, and then the circle will be complete. All three of us will have had a bad
circle
app.
Circle of apps.
It really is happening very frequently now.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
I'm not surprised.
Maybe it's just the new world order, new world app order.
Oh, new world.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's end. That
I'm
is it for
Disney
this week.
Songs.
I know. Yeah, we're starting to do Disney songs. We know it's the end. Flo, without singing Disney songs, what do you have to tell people? Or sing Disney songs. I don't care. Whatever.
I'm going into a smart home hole for the next month and a half. So I'm going to be over there working on stuff. And I'm kind of just right now working on stuff. I've actually been enjoying the weather the last 2 days, which is the nice part of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you working on stuff outside? In the nice weather, or are you just enjoying the weather?
Outside. I've just been outside.
Okay.
Listen, it's a luxury. Sometimes you got to take advantage of it. It's
no, you
been
definitely
unnaturally
do,
76 degrees to 80 degrees here. But anyway, you'll see stuff pop up for me. So just stay tuned to Twitter. There is some stuff I'm hoping to announce this month that I'm working on.
Awesome.
When I'm not outside enjoying the unnatural sun.
Well, I hope that you enjoy more of that sun, even though it's strange that we're getting this much sun in February. It's not normal, folks. It's not normal. Hey, Ron, what about you?
It's not fair. you can go to, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at RonXO there. That's where I'm most active doing fun nonsense stuff. As I mentioned, I am working on a project that features some material design stuff. So I'm pretty excited about that. When we announce it, I will let everybody know. So you can check that out at the appropriate time. But development is happening. It's very exciting.
Nice. So, excellent. Let us know. Keep us posted.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of fun, I guess.
It was a lot of fun. Welcome back.
Yeah, and we'll
go back and
see you next week.
Ron is number one.
Guests are number one.
Ron, why don't you take next week off?
Oh, okay. I will.
Thank you, Victor. Appreciate all your help today. You're awesome. Thank you for the thumbs up. YellowGoldMusic.com, JasonHowell.net for me, or just Twitter at Jason Howell. Couple of things. Twit Flash Briefing.
Yes.
You could get if you had the Amazon Echo devices. Now available in Canada, Australia, the UK, and India. So if you haven't already, you can go into your Amazon app settings and under Flash Briefing, just look for Twit. You can sign up for that and you'll get new content from us every day. A little snippet from our shows. We've been having a lot of fun with the Flash Briefing. So check that out if you're new to the Echo ecosystem or in those areas. You can now get that. And it's also time for our yearly Twit survey. This is where hopefully we hear from you so we can, you know, serve you better, give you the content that you're looking for. You can tell us how we're doing. Are we giving you what you're looking for? That's mainly what we want to know. As much or as little information as you want to give, we really appreciate it. Head over to twit.tv/survey and be heard. We read all this stuff and it really helps us year after year. So thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. Twit.tv/survey. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. If you want to search the Android Arena list like I didn't today, then go to twit.to/AndroidApps and you can do a control F and see that Prism was on the list. And if you want to watch live, you can always do that. Tickets@twit.tv. Make sure and email us so we can make sure that there's a chair set out for you and we know that you're coming. Or you can catch us live on the stream, which is probably more likely what you're going to do if you're going to check us out live. That's every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. See you later. Oh, right.
All right, Jason.
All right.
All right, Jason.
Oreo time. I can actually eat Oreos now. So that's good. And this week, we have...
What do we have? Ooh. Oh!
That's
exciting.
A yellow bag.
This one, it's a yellow bag, and it's called PB&J. If only
Wow, this is a big one.
If only it was PB&J with the crust cut off.
Well, wow. Then it'd be a crustable.
All right, you want to close up and we'll do the open?
Yeah, what does the cover look like?
Oh, sorry, there's routing.
We have to judge the book
being
by its
scrambled
cover.
At this moment. Yes, so it's peanut butter flavor cream plus jelly flavor cream equals PB&J cookie
flavored
magic. Yes.
That looks like nothing I want to partake in.
They really want to make sure you understand this is just flavored.
Artificially.
It's not authentic.
Flavored.
This isn't like peanut butter picked fresh from the tree. No, this is artificially flavored.
Do peanuts grow on trees? I think they grow underground.
This isn't jelly scooped from a tree.
There you go.
This is... All right. Automatically, the cookies are in prime condition.
Wow. Is this an Amazon order?
Everything. Wow. Everything going forward right now is an Amazon order. I will go ahead and take the one and only one that looks like there's any jelly in it.
Yeah.
And I will give this to you. I'm sure there was jelly on the other sides. So this is peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter.
The nose is interesting. Okay. I get a hint of peanut butter and... just a touch of jelly.
Just a touch of jelly.
Whoa, what's that Muppet doing? Oh, that Muppet's got a big human hand.
Muppets do what Muppets do, apparently. I think I need a second bite on this one. That's right, Scooter X. Peanut butter jelly time. Mm. I don't know. It's enticing in its own special way. I'm not quite sure if I would get this every single time, but it's a nice change of pace. I like it. I give it a 7.
So is it peanut-flavored cream or is it peanut butter?
It's not like a Nutter Butter biscuit. It's not like a Nutter Butter biscuit.
Mm. Yeah, this is the breakdown. On the overhead shot, we've got the breakdown courtesy of Alex.
That just looks disgusting. I'm sorry.
It's not. I'm sorry. It tastes like if I tried to make a PB&J sandwich on my own at home with things I had around the house.
Yeah. This is like, I've got some of this and some of that. I'll put it on a cookie.
And like instead of jam, I had to use that Schmucker's syrup that you would normally put on waffles, like the blueberry kind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Schmucker's.
Schmucker's.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't hate it. I'd give it a 7.
I mean, I'll probably have another one later. I will.
Actually, I've had much, much worse. And I kind of like the fruity aspect of it. It works with the vanilla cookie. I'm happy they went with the vanilla cookie and not the chocolate cookie. There's at least that.
Oh, you cannot do that to me. That's way too much.
Peanut butter and jelly with a chocolate cookie. That would be a little weird.
No.
Although peanut butter and chocolate's good.
Well, yeah, but we already had the best one, which was the chocolate hazelnut variety.
That was pretty good, too. Yeah. So I give it a 7. What's your number?
I'm going to give it a 6.5. Okay. I can't give it higher than that.
All right. There we go. Peanut butter and jelly. I'd say try it. If you're at the store and you see one, you might as well try it.